Also from my wife, her name is Margaret. She is unable to be here this morning because she is in the U.S. Sharing at a Slavic church, Russian peoples that have come together in an area of Atlanta. And they are this morning talking through multi-generation relationships. So their churches and first-generation Slavic people have now met other people in the States, and they have become one in marriage and have children, and now they're dealing with second-generation Slavic people, and what does that mean for them as a church and for the gospel and the kingdom? And my wife is there this morning, but she welcomes you, and she says, thank you for allowing me to be with you as well. As I share this morning, our text is going to come out of Matthew chapter 3, and the emphasis this morning is mission. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'll share some things about our ministry and what's happening in some of the stories that are related. But I don't think we can really begin to talk about mission until we begin to talk about Jesus. Because mission starts with a person. The things that we involve ourselves in, the tasks and the doing of ministry, actually comes from a person. It's not for ourselves, it's for others. And Jesus was actually that primary example for us as he began his ministry. So we're going to take a step back a little bit and figure out what really motivated or what happened in Jesus' life for him to begin to proclaim the message of the kingdom and the good news. So we're going to look quickly at how Jesus began or how he was on mission. If you go to Matthew 3, the verses I have, and due to the time, I'm not going to be able to elaborate a whole lot on some of the things that are in here. So I just will trust and pray that as you hear and as we engage together, that after today, you will continue to read through some of these verses and ask the Lord to give you insight and understanding. So John 3, and we're going to just kind of jump down to verses 16 and 17. And it said, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, I don't know if you've ever heard the voice of God, but could you imagine this morning if when Pastor Larry came up, a voice of heaven burst into this room and said, "This is Pastor Larry. Listen intently to him." What would happen in our hearts and our lives and in this space? And I can only imagine what happened when John was standing there on the shore and walking into the water, and there were people actually around. It wasn't just John and Jesus. There were people that were gathered, and they began to experience a demonstration of God's power, and they heard the voice of God, and then there was an identification that happened. God said, "This is my Son, whom I love." That's a powerful statement. "And I'm well pleased." Jesus knew in that moment, I think he knew all the time, but it was a different moment for him to have an identity spoken into who he was at that moment. Jesus knew his identity. He knew his Father, and he knew that who he was pleased the Father. So that's an aspect that we're going to kind of continue on throughout the morning, is Jesus knew his identity. If you go to Matthew 4, in verses 1 through 12, this is the story and the experience that he has in the wilderness. So after he was baptized, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy, to be confronted with spiritual warfare. And sometimes we think that spiritual warfare is from the enemy and it's an attack. But can we comprehend that Jesus was led by the Father into spiritual warfare? God wanted him to experience confrontation with the enemy. Sometimes we don't think about it that way. But God understood that there was his son, who he's well pleased, he knows his identity, and I'm going to bring him into a situation that he will be able to express who he is and what he understands. So the story goes, and we know you can read the verses yourself, and you can find out the things that the enemy confronted him with and challenged him with or asked him to do and how Jesus responded. And every time Jesus responded, what did he respond with? What did he respond with? He responded with the Word of God, with God's Word. God's Word was a part of Jesus. Jesus was the Word of God. It tells us that in John. But the Word was a part of who he was and who he is. Jesus knew the truth. He knew the Word. And some of the questions that I ask myself is God's Word so important to me that no matter what my situation or my circumstance, whatever I'm involved in, can I really trust God's Word to be true? Sometimes we believe Jesus, we believe who he is, and we believe in what he's done, and we know the Word because it's taught to us and we hear it. But is it so much a part of our life that it's not just about hearing it and knowing that it exists, but knowing that the Word of God is true? It is the truth. Jesus knew the truth. And his message, after he came out of the wilderness, it says he went into an area that was a place of darkness, and the darkness has now experienced or been shown the light. That light was Jesus Christ. And it says then that from that point on, if you look at Matthew 4:17, it says, from that point on, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus was saying in that moment that his presence in that moment was the physical demonstration of God's heart. The repentance aspect was a challenge for people or a call to people to change the way that they think. Change your thinking. What you've been thinking or what you've been believing needs some evaluation. Believe the truth. Repentance, what Jesus was saying is, believe the truth. I am the truth. And what I will do and what I will say is the power and the expression of the kingdom of God. There's a quote that Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German theologian, said, and he said that the church is the church only when it exists for others. The church must share in the secular problems of ordinary human life, not dominating, but helping and serving. And it's interesting because if we also look into Scripture, Jesus says, you know, I don't come to be served, but what did he say? I've come to serve. And the Jews understood that a king was coming, but they thought he was coming to dominate and to take over. But what did Jesus do as the king? He came to humble himself and to serve. Not to dominate, but to speak the truth, to live in the power of the kingdom, so that people could see the real heart of God. I actually love that quote, but it's a challenging quote because it asks the question, are we involved in serving others? That's really where that question lies. You know, over the past 15 to 20 years, the definition of missions, because that's kind of what we're looking at today, the definition of missions has changed. Missions used to be that you would feel called by God, there would be a people or a place that's put on your heart. You would leave your home, your family, your job, and you would go over there to that place to bring the kingdom or share the good news of Jesus Christ. Basically, from here to there. We would even venture to say from the west to the rest. You might have heard that expression. Yeah. That has changed tremendously over the past 15 or 20 years. There was a survey that was conducted by the Evangelical Fellowship of Canadian Churches, or EFC, and they collaborated with mission agencies. There was probably about 20 of us that had come together and asked the EFC if they would put this survey together about what is happening with church and missions. And in that survey, there was only one write-in question. And the question was, what is mission? Now, out of the about 3,000 surveys that were filled in and returned, 1,000 people wrote in a definition of mission. You know how many different versions of the definition exist within that survey? Any guesses? 1,000. Yes, there was not one singular definition that was the same. And what we were able to do was we were able to identify 5 similarities with all of the 1,000 different definitions of missions. We could kind of group them into 5 categories. If you want to know what those are, you can go onto the EFC website. I could spend an hour and 2 days talking about the what happened in that survey. But that was a very interesting dynamic that we as mission agencies, we as the church, have begun to wrestle with. What does it mean to be on mission, or what is missions? What does that mean for us today? Culture has also changed. And because of globalization and major people movements, there has created a new look to cities, to countries, and to nations. And we see it right here in Canada. I'm not from Canada, I'm from the U.S. But right here in this room, there's diversity of culture and people in our community and in our city and even around the world. Europe has completely changed. The face of Europe and what that looks like, the people groups and the movements that have come through, it's completely changed the face and the look of Europe and how they engage as a culture. By the year 2020, it is estimated that 2.8 billion people will have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2.8 billion. And around 3,000 people groups still do not have the written gospel in their own language. If you have a Bible this morning or a phone that has a Bible on it, I just want you to hold it up. How many of it are in your own language? Raise your hand. Yeah. It's so accessible to us. And we can pick it up and we can read it. But there are still those who have yet to have the truth of God in written form in a way that they can understand and read. And we think about that, but we also don't understand that there are many people that still do not have the ability to read. So what are we doing to be able to share the kingdom truth of who Jesus Christ, the good news is, with those who do not have the ability to be literate and understand their own language or their own written language? There's challenges there, but I say there's opportunity. Some of these individuals might live in our own community right here. They might live on your street. How do we engage and share and serve the community around us, but the communities around the world? But we do know for sure that the largest population of people who have yet to hear the gospel still remain in Europe, aspects of Europe and North Africa and in Asia. And these would we would call the least reached. And that's one of the aspects and the desires in the hearts of OM is we want to see vibrant communities of Jesus followers among the least reached. And as we begin to start new ministries and begin to pray and think of areas that we need to go into, that's the first places that we begin to think about. Who has yet to hear the gospel? And how can we follow God's leading in that? So here's where we're going to have a little bit of interaction this morning. How many of you in this room like to fish? You're fishermen or fisherwomen? Fisher people. Yes, great. For those of you that raised your hand, I just want you to stand up with me for a moment. If you'll go to the next slide. In a place called Lake Tanganyika in Africa, there is a gentleman named Moses. Moses is actually a Zambian. in Africa. And he had, early in his years, he had come to one of our ministries and came to know Christ. And he had a desire to share Jesus with those that were around Lake Tanganyika. And what he did is he moved his family and they all went to move to Lake Tanganyika. The thing about Lake Tanganyika is if you live on that lake, the only means for you to have a job or a life is actually to fish. That is how they live. They are people of the water. They go out and fish. So we were able to get Moses a boat so that he would be able to go out and fish. So if those of you that are standing, if you could come up here for just a moment. Oh, we even got some up there. That's great. How about one, you guys over here, can you make your way down? We'll give you a little bit of exercise this morning. Yep. Great. So what Moses would do, what's his name? Joe? Joe? Joe's going to be, he's going to arrive on the shore, okay? So what would happen is Moses would get into this boat and he would realize that he has a captive audience. They can't go anywhere. So what does Moses begin to do? He begins to tell stories of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is this man? Actually, Jesus, he hung around the seashore and he would meet with fishermen. So they would tell stories of Jesus. And then when they would get back onto the shore, they would greet people, of course. And Joe would come to the shore and he would help Moses and the team get their fish out. What Moses realized was that some people that would fish, that did not go with Moses, they were out fishing all night long. They would come back. They didn't have any fish. Traditionally, they would go to their home as a group. They would decide to sacrifice one child because they believed that the gods or the spirit of the water was unhappy with them. Therefore, they would not have any fish. So when Moses would take people out and share Jesus and they would fish and they would go to different places, they would often come back with a boat full of fish. And people would always ask, why do you always come back with fish? And Moses' answer was, I trust Jesus. Now, does Jesus really care about how many fish you catch? I say maybe. We think, you know, does Jesus really care what team wins the Super Bowl? Maybe not. But when a person's life is reflecting the power and the demonstration of the gospel, God will use whatever is necessary to bring glory and honor to himself that people might know him. So the men, and they would watch Moses and how he interacted with his family and why did he not sacrifice his child if he did come back and he didn't have a good catch. Yeah. So what we're doing in Zambia is we are seeing Moses begin to share the truth of Jesus Christ, knowing who he is in Christ, with others that they might be transformed through this message. He prays with them. He meets with them in their homes. It's an interesting story that Moses has. Thank you very much. Give him a hand. What happened is Moses, it's not that he knew anything about tides and moons and all of that, but the reality is the moon does affect how fish move in the water at different seasons. And Moses was a fisherman. So he just knew that if he wasn't catching fish in one area, what do? You go to another area. And he taught these men how to just to navigate watching in what the moon was doing and what the water was doing and how to find different places. And it began to transform them. Next slide. This is Stephanie and Spiridon, and they're in Moldova. Do we have any couples in here that are married about a year or two? Newly married, anyone? Do we know in the room who have the longest relationship? Is anybody in here married? So I need a couple who's sitting next to their husband or their wife that's close that can come up here. I don't want to choose any because I don't want to be prophetic in any way. All right, come on. Great. Thank you very much. What's your name?
Fiona.
Fiona. Nice to meet you.
I'm Ken.
Ken, nice to meet you. All right, this is not Stephanie and Spiridon.
We have a Stephanie.
Hallelujah. Oh, well, that's great. That's great. So this couple is in Moldova. Now, Spiridon is a Moldovan man, and Stephanie is a Dutch lady. And they met on an OM team together. Years ago, it's really interesting how people, when they experience the gospel, it changes them, and they want to be involved in the things that change their life, right? So Spiridon came to an event that was happening in Moldova, came to faith in Christ as a young boy, and now he is leading and pastoring a church in a community with Stephanie. They lived in the city, and what Stephanie and Spiridon did is they began to pray and ask God what would they need to do within that community. And God said, move into the village. And there's a little village called Losovo. Everybody say Losovo. There's about 5,000 people in Losovo, but no evangelical presence. There is a church that's there. It's an Orthodox church. But if you were to kind of associate it with what happened in Scripture, it would be like the Pharisees were running Losovo. So if you wanted a blessing or if you wanted something good to happen in your life, you would call the priest in, you would pay him money, and then he would pray for you. But he wouldn't pray for you if you didn't pay him. Stephanie and Spiridon were walking into a village and a family home that was there. The floor was torn up. They had a wood floor and pieces of the wood were taking out. So it was just a dirt bottom floor. And they began to ask them, what's happened to your floor? And the grandfather had passed away, and they didn't have enough money to pay the priest, so they took the floor up and built a coffin so they could bury the grandfather properly. Stephanie and Spiridon ran into three young boys that were orphaned on the street. They were just kind of street boys. They've adopted them and brought them into their home, and they're sharing Christ with them and feeding them and loving them and showing them a home that loves God and that loves others. And as they've moved into this community, they've been threatened by the bishop that's there. They've been threatened by other priests in the areas for their life because they are taking away from their business. Because they're not asking for money, for prayer, or for love, or kindness. They just want to demonstrate God's power and his authority in that community. And they've been able to build a building on a property and have a community, kind of community building where people can come in and learn skills and to be able to help the children with schoolwork and educate them and to be a blessing. And they hold a service every Sunday in that room, and about 50 people were there the first time that I knew they had started their building, and now they have over 100 in that community that are attending. Thank you very much. So what I want us to do real quick is I just want us to pray for Lake Tanganyika, and I want us to pray for Moldova with Stephanie and Spiridon. Yeah? Father, thank you so much for Moses and what you've done in his life. We thank you for Lake Tanganyika, and we thank you that you are using people that love you, that desire to see your kingdom purposes come and lives transformed. So we ask for a blessing over Moses, continue to bless his fishing and his discipleship, that many people in those villages will come to faith. And Lord, we thank you for Stephanie and Spiridon in Moldova. And we pray that your power will be known by the presence that they are there and they love you and that you love them and that you love those people in that village. So Lord, we just ask that you would multiply ministry in that area. So last thing I want to do is I want to call up the worship team. There's eight of them. And I want you to stand in the places actually that you lead us from. Some of you pray for Nepal. I think there's some of you that meet together and you specifically are praying for the ministries of Nepal. Historically in OM, what we have done in Nepal is we trek and we pass out Bibles and literature so people can get to know Jesus. And we've done this since the very beginning of the ministry in Nepal. So they have a discipleship training school there. They learn about God. They learn about how to share their faith. then they give these teams pamphlets and stuff, and they tell them to just go walk around Nepal and share the gospel. And as we as OM have been kind of refocusing some of our attention and wanting to see communities being developed in some of these areas, Nepal has identified 8 provinces that they have been to, that they have given literature, and there's been good response, but there's been no real presence there long term. And it's very interesting, if you look at a map of Nepal, it kind of looks like your stage. And where your team is standing this morning, actually, I was looking at this morning and finding it very fascinating. If you look on the map and you look at the areas and the places that we are wanting to build teams to stay longer term, it's actually in the places that your team is standing. Very close. I wish I had the picture to show you, but it's very fascinating. But that's our heart and that's our desire, is that we just don't share the gospel, but that we begin to develop relationships to where we can begin to be the people of God in those communities, sharing the truth, knowing who we are in Jesus Christ, so that others might see, not signs, because I think those come as we are obedient and as we honor the Lord. God wants to show himself to us. So as we begin to do that as the people of God, I think stuff just happens. Miraculous things. Things we can't explain. Not that we seek them out, but that we want people to know who God is, and God will reveal himself. He will. So I want us to pray for Nepal for a moment. Yeah? Father, thank you so much for the ministry that's been happening in Nepal. The lives that are being touched, the amount of literature that's gone out, and the good news that's gone out. And this morning, as this team and I stand here on this platform in pretty much a close replication of what Nepal looks like as a country, and where they're standing identifies places of light. Lord, we ask that the light of the gospel and the life of the gospel would continue to penetrate in those areas, that we might see many people be discipled and have a relationship with you that they can then share with others, so that your name might be known fully in that country, in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Either that or my time might be up, so you might want to stay up here. So that's a sign. Yes, it is. That's good. How are we doing on time? Good? Close. So here's the thing. It's great because I'm at the end. You see, what has not changed in mission, it's not the message that's changed. The need is still there for mission. There's need everywhere. God says there will always be needy among you. So therefore, that gives us the continued need to go forth and to share the gospel. But what does it take? I think it takes 3 things. And if we go back to the very beginning of when I began to share, I think it takes knowing our identity in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, if you don't know, God loves you. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And as you follow him and say yes to him, he's pleased with you. He's pleased with you. But to fully understand that, I think that we have to know the word. We can understand that God loves us, but the only way that that's going to penetrate deep within us is if we continue to understand his heart and his word. So know the word. Know your identity. Know the word. And the second is, or the third is, be people who live the kingdom life. As God reveals his heart to you and you learn more about him, he teaches us how to live in this world. Do that. Ask him to give you the strength to do that, and you will see great things. You'll see lives change. You'll see your neighborhood transformed. And some of you, as you begin to pray and do that, he might call you to leave your home, to leave your family, to leave your job, and to go share that same truth with somebody who might not know yet and who might have never heard. So be blessed today and be people of the kingdom of God, because he loves you and he's pleased with you. and His truth, it's true. Amen? Amen. Bless you.
Sing this song together. Let's rise. It's a song that we might have sung even in Sunday school as a children. Some of you were young when you first came to church. It speaks of the truth that we just shared about. Let your light shine upon us. Shine on us so that we can share this light with other people.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of your darkness shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me.
Sing that as prayer.
Shine, Jesus, shine.
And receive the benediction upon your hearts today. Benediction is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, church, for your worship towards the Lord our God this morning. It's a great privilege to have had James with us this morning, and knowing that he's leading this organization of OM, Operation Mobilization. Do continue to pray for them. They're in so many countries of the world seeking to proclaim God's gospel. We need to continue to support each other in that. And we thank you for George being with us. He's also working with OM, and Janet, his wife, I think she's already at the table. Is that right? Or is she around? Janet, where are you? She's at the table already. Okay. So there, we got a table set up in the coffee room. So if you want to talk to James and George and Janet, see some literature on OM, you'll want to go there and just have an opportunity to find out a little bit more. And I'm sure they'd love to share that with you. Also, this morning, I don't know if you know this, but Peter, one, is taking a bit of a sabbatical from us. He's going to be going to other churches for a while and taking a bit of a rest and enjoying the Lord's blessing on some other churches, so, and learning some as he goes. So he's going to be with us just this Sunday, and then next Sunday on the 4th of February, he's no longer going to be here with us for a while. So Peter, why don't you come up, and I'm going to just pray for you. And how about the worship team? Why don't we gather around and just lay hands on this brother and pray for him as he goes off on his sabbatical here. Yeah, any place will do. Okay, here we go. Let's bow our heads and pray for him. Lord Jesus, thank you for Peter. Thank you for his faithful leadership of our worship ministry here in a multicultural congregation. We just pray over him, Lord, that you would continue to fill him, that you will bless him in every way. Thank you so much for his faithful leadership all these years. Ever since I started pastoring here over 14 years ago, and then even before that with David Wood, Lord, I thank you for all the faithful years he has served here with us. I pray now that you would give him that time that he needs to just fill his tanks again with your love and with your grace to learn and to experience some new things. And then to come back with us again in the month of September, he says, to join us and again be a part of us in way of leading our worship ministry. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for him and for the blessing that he is to me personally and to us as a church. We pray that you would anoint him and bless him even as he departs from our midst. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Thank you, guys. I'm going to give, yeah. We got three guys here that are going to come and talk to us, or gal and guys, that are going to talk to us about Arise, which is happening next weekend.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. So on behalf of the worship team, we are hosting, or we are excited to announce that we are hosting our first Arise workshop for this year that will take place this Saturday at 9:30, like Pastor Larry was saying. So this is a great opportunity for us to kind of learn more and explore deeper into what we do every single week, worship. And especially seeing our church's theme this year, I know it was up there earlier, worshiping in spirit and in truth.
So our focus for this session will be worshiping together. We'll have a keynote presentation on some key values of what corporate worship's all about and why it's important to worship as a community, as well as some sharing, discussion, and time having fun playing music together.
So registrations will be in the connections room after service. We will also have a table set up. We would love for you to come, ask us any questions you have. There will be lots of donuts and coffee, so make sure you come out next week for that. Love to see you there.
Okay, thank you, team. We also want you to be aware that next Sunday we're going to be having a healing service, so we want you to prepare your hearts for that. There'll be opportunity to come forward and have different team members here at the front to pray over you, anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to James chapter 5. So we want to partake of that. If you have ills or maybe you've been suffering with something, be it matter of something spiritual or something physical, we want to invite you towards that, to be concerned to come forward and ask the church to pray over you for healing. Would you be so bold to do that and pray about that even during this week, that you could see yourself coming forward for prayer on this next Sunday? Also, First Nation work is big on our radar as a congregation, as a church. We're planning to go to Nanaimo again, probably in the month of March 17th, 18th. That's just before spring break. And we want to give an open invitation to you that might consider going over, spending the weekend over in Victory Church, First Nations, over in Nanaimo, and ministering God's word and knocking on some doors. We're going to try to collect up some soap and other things and bags so that we can do some door knocking there in the reservation, and just to reach out to our First Nation people there. So pray about that as well. As we heard this morning, mission is the name of the church. We are to be on God's mission and to do his work. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as a team to go forward? We'll have some applications and things next Sunday in that regard. May you be blessed as you go from this place. There's also a class on evangelism that I'm involved with upstairs after our coffee time. So welcome to come and enjoy that. Talking about pluralism in our society and how we can overcome that as Christians and what we should do about that. It'll be a great discussion. So after the service, please come and join the coffee time. See the OM table. Talk to these guys. Is the table today or next week?
Today.
Lots of tables. Okay. So God bless you as you go. Please be dismissed with silent prayer and then go out rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. Amen.